Welcome, and thanks for joining us for today's message from the archives of Pastor Tony Alamo, presented by Help from Christ Ministries. If today's message inspires or encourages you, please contact us at 918-506-5550. That's 918-506-5550. Or helpfromchristministries@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Hi again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 77. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how to receive one at the end of the programs. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're free, including postage and handling.
This is part three of a piece of literature that the Lord gave me a few years ago, entitled The Lord Speaking. Do I offend you? And are you ashamed of me? How anyone could be offended by the Lord, the word of the Lord, because it's the only way there is to salvation. It's the straight and narrow way to salvation. And then, are you ashamed? How could the wicked people of this world, or anybody in this world, be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you before my Father and His holy angels, the Lord said. Well, right now, let's all go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint outwardly this service so that you can all be anointed inwardly. Father, I pray that all the words that I say on this broadcast will be directly from You, that they'll all be 100% Your Word, Your Scriptures, Your Word, and that it will edify the church and lift them on higher ground, and that souls that are in darkness, that are unable to see the truth, that You'll open their spiritual eyes and their mind and let them put on the mind of Christ, the entire church and the unsaved, and that they'll be able to understand the things that You're saying to them this evening. And I ask it, Lord, that the souls by the millions or billions will be saved in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, now let's begin with the Lord asking this question. Do I offend you? Are you ashamed of me?
Because the Lord denied His self-life in the service of God, it is obvious that He wants us to be as He was and still is.
Yes, because He said He does. Come and follow me. In other words, be like me. Do like what I say. Follow in my footsteps. Okay? If you're being instructed in the Lord, then don't balk at His instructions. If you are taking lessons from an airline instructor, pay attention to what he's saying, because if you don't, there might come a crisis in the air one of these days when you're supposed to be flying the plane, and maybe the plane won't make it. Amen?
Amen.
So pay strict attention to your instructors. And in this case, it was Jesus, God Himself, God-man. Okay, and so He shouldn't be rebuking Jesus. No one should rebuke God or say, "What doest thou?" Amen?
Amen.
Keep your place, boa. Keep your place, girl. Then what?
Jesus is calling believers to commit their natural, soulish self-life to death on the cross, not only because it loves the world, but because if we love the world, we will not serve Him nor enter heaven.
No, anyone that loves the world cannot serve the Lord. They cannot be servants of the Lord if they love the world. Absolutely impossible. You can't serve two masters. You either are of one kingdom of the heaven or the kingdom of this world. You cannot have both. Some people want to have the world and have heaven as well. Not so. Can't be. In order to communicate with the Lord, one must give all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, and all their strength to Him. Nothing to the world. Amen?
Amen.
Now you can use the world to get food and to drink water and things like this, or juice or whatever you drink, but you are not to be of it. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. Amen?
Amen.
That's the reproof of the word of the Lord. Does that push your heart a little and reopen a little crevice there that hasn't been opened for a while? I think so. Okay, then what?
Peter, in expressing his carnal affection towards the Lord, was not conscious that he was expressing and revealing his attitude towards his carnal self. Here, Peter's full carnal personality is unveiled. How true it is that the carnal, worldly self always operates independently of the will of God. It loves to serve God according to what it deems to be good in its carnal, fleshly, sinful self. Following God's desires means stripping away the self, the carnal, the soulish life. Whenever God's mind is obeyed, the soul's or self's ideas are crushed. Because Peter, in chapter 10 of Matthew, spoke to Jesus from his soul, the Lord called his disciples to forsake the natural self-life. The Lord added that the words Peter had uttered were from Satan.
Yeah, forget your fishing nets, forget the collecting taxes, forget the motion pictures, forget all the different things. Come and follow me. All right? Mm-hmm. Unless you're a tent maker, God let Paul make some tents and make some money that way. If you're making money with decent things, that's okay if the Lord allows it. But this is a flexible type thing. You've got to know that the Lord is telling you to do that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Satan employs man's natural, sinful, selfish life as long as sinful people don't think Satan will deliver them to death. In other words, you will let Satan employ you as long as you don't think he'll kill you. When people respond more favorably to Satan than to the Lord, it means they are more fearful of Satan than of the Lord. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, Ecclesiastes 12:13. Satan continues his operation today, which is the deceptive destruction of the human soul. The humans that Satan employs are his instruments. Peter said those wicked things because he ignorantly thought he was cherishing the Lord. However, the Holy Spirit reveals to us all that he was being manipulated by Satan. Peter prays that Jesus will listen to his carnal advice, stating that Jesus should be concerned about his human body, the temple where the triune God was living and working. However, his prayer was from the bowels of hell. Satan doesn't mind if we pray to God with our natural energy, but he doesn't want us to pray in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, Satan doesn't care if you go to church either. He'll take you to different churches. Amen. He'll take you to these huge crusades where they're going to tell you that the Pope is a good man and that he is to be honored and that Bush is the Messiah. Oh, oh, oh. Oh yeah, Satan will take you to those kind of churches, or covens, I call them. All right, then what?
If we continue in self-life, Satan's business prospers. May God show us all how dangerous this self-life is, because believers may too quickly think they are spiritual merely because they think they love the Lord or admire heavenly things. God's purpose cannot be accomplished as long as Satan continues to find opportunity to work through that soulish self-life which remains uncommitted to the death of the cross. Self-pity, self-love, a fear of suffering, and a fear of the cross life is sinful. These are some of the manifestations of self-life or wicked soulish life, for its prime motivation is self-preservation.
You know, when there was this flood over in New Orleans, people left all their belongings because they couldn't take them anything. They thought them to be nothing but dung. The main thing they wanted to do is save their lives and the lives of their loved ones. Amen?
Amen.
So the Bible says, what's more important, things of this world or your soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere? Amen?
Amen.
So that's why it's very important for even your carnal mind to forget about the world. Get into heaven. Okay? Don't stop running. Like the sister said yesterday, she saw a vision of the Lord running, and she was running right behind him, and then there was this other woman that was running behind her, and she was a beautiful woman. And then all of a sudden she went off the side of the road, and she went into a room, and she looked like an old hag in there because she got off the straight and narrow. And she couldn't look back. She didn't want to look back anymore. She just kept running with Jesus. And that's the kind, she just didn't stop running, okay? The sister, she's still here. The other one, she got waylaid along the side of the road somewhere down there and left the Lord. She stopped running. Don't stop running, because the Bible says that only those that continue to the end shall be saved. And what's more important, the things of this world or your soul? Believe me, come a flood, you're not going to care about the things of this world. The only thing you're going to try to save is your precious life and the life of your precious ones, your sons, your daughters, your mother, maybe, if she's of the Lord, or your grandmother or father, somebody. But, you know, your television set, what are you going to do, go in there and rescue it and drown trying? That's what happens when you hang on to the world. You're going to drown. You're off the straight and narrow, and you're in the dark room there, and you're going to turn into an old hag or an old weasel. Okay, keep going.
It is exceedingly reluctant to endure any loss. This is the very reason the Lord calls us to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily. It is to crush or snuff out our natural, self-indulgent life. Every cross that passes before us calls us to forsake ourselves. We must not harbor any self-love, but instead lay down our lives by the power of God living both in and through us. The Lord tells us that this is our cross. Every one of us receives our own particular cross from God. This is the particular cross we must bear. Even though it is our cross, it is directly connected to the cross of the Lord. If we are willing to carry our cross in the same way Christ carried his cross, we will find the power of his cross abiding in us, and it will enable us to lose our natural self-life. Each time we take up our cross, our carnal self, our fleshly, mortal, worthless life will suffer loss. Each time we don't, our self-life is fed and made stronger. Dealing with our self-life is not a one-time or a part-time matter. It's a full-time job, 24 hours a day, 7 days of every week, and 365 days of every year. Does this offend you? Again, the Lord is the one who teaches us this truth for our eternal benefit, our eternal life. Most people will lose their own lives for such things as their father, mother, wife, son, daughter, brothers, sisters, friends, careers, or a multitude of other things. Jesus tells us that sacrificing ourselves for anyone or anything other than for his sake will not be of any value in attaining eternal life, immortality in heaven. Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. Again, the cross which we have been called to bear is closely related to the cross that Christ bore. The cross that we have been called to bear is like a poisonous serpent, able to bring death to our fleshly, sinful self-life. Like a serpent, our cross, which again is self-denial, is full of death-dealing venom, ready to kill every fleshly lust and worldly desire which would raise its ugly head to destroy us if we were foolish enough not to pay attention to its rising. This truth is greatly symbolized several times in the Old Testament. One of these times is when Moses, during a war with Amalek, lifted up the rod of God, which was symbolic of Christ, who is the Word of God, and his cross. If he did, the enemy of Israel would lose the battle. But if he became weary and lowered the rod of God, which was symbolic of Christ and his cross, the enemy would begin winning the battle over Israel.
The reason that this rod with the serpent on it is symbolic of Christ is because the serpent is like sin, and Christ became sin for us. We were on our way to hell, but because of the fact that God in Christ came to this earth as a man to shed his blood for us, he became our sin. And so he went to the cross in our stead and shed his precious blood, because it's precious, because it takes away our old sins. And because there's no more sin on us, then God opens his eyes to us and sends the spirit of his son into us with his own spirit, and we become born again of the spirit. And so that's why the cross and the Moses' staff with the serpent, or the staff with the serpent around it, is symbolic of Jesus, who became sin for us. Okay, then go ahead.
In Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9, when the children of Israel sinned by murmuring against God, God instructed Moses to make a fiery brass serpent and set it upon a pole. This pole with the brass serpent on it is symbolic of Christ and the killing power of the cross against the natural sinful life.
Right, the cross mortifies our flesh, and in other words, makes it dead. The desires of our flesh to be dead. If we just do what the Lord says, that automatically kills the desires of the flesh. And then what?
God sent fiery, poisonous serpents to kill the children of Israel for their murmuring against him. But if they kept their eyes upon the brass serpent on the pole, the venom from the poisonous, fiery serpents did not harm them. This shows us that if we keep our eyes and minds on Christ, the Word of God, so that we can serve him by keeping his commandments through his living in us and working through us, nothing of the devil can obstruct our ability to enter heaven. This is because by doing this, we are fully armed and armored with the whole armor of God, which destroys, poisons, and kills our fleshly self-life. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. If we take up our cross and deny our desires for the things of the world, every fleshly lust and worldly desire, that is, our old life, will be mortified or deadened, and they will have no more power over us. Then we will be immune from Satan's ability to kill our eternal soul by tempting or deceiving us back into the world of sin. Again, in another place, the rod of God, which is also symbolic of Christ and his cross, was given to Moses as a sign to Pharaoh that God had sent Moses to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt. When Aaron, Moses' brother, threw down the rod symbolizing Christ, his cross, and its serpentine power over the natural sinful life, the rod of God turned into that symbol, the serpent. The magicians threw their rods down, and these too became serpents. However, the serpent representing God's venomous power over the satanic natural sinful life swallowed up the satanic natural sinful humanistic lives of the magician serpents. God shows us by the symbol of the serpent, which deceived Eve, that God outmaneuvered the devil by making the serpent, which ordinarily symbolizes the devil, to swallow up himself, which is all the evil of the serpent, which is the self-life. Jesus and his cross led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men by his blood and his cross, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. He tricked that old serpent, the devil, into crucifying him on the cross as a sacrifice for everyone's former sins, so that everyone could be set free from the devil and from the penalty of an eternal hell. Because Christ never sinned, the Father resurrected him from the dead to again reign over the entire universe. Without the cross of Christ, there is no eternal life. And without our cross, which again is closely connected with the cross of Christ, there is no power of the cross to preserve our eternal life.
No, we cannot serve the world, serve the Lord and the world. You just lose all your godly power, your spiritual power. So the more of the world that you like and enjoy, the more you have no spiritual power of God. The Spirit of God has left you and you wist it not. You don't even know it because you're so entangled with the affairs of the world. All right? So don't be involved with all these things. The Lord will warn you to send a tsunami or a hurricane, take all the things that you have, and you'll find out they're not that important. Somebody might have bought a brand new something in their house, maybe a whole new set of furniture and everything, and it's got all wasted. They didn't try to take that furniture on the raft with them or swim with it in the flood. They just took off. Amen?
Amen.
And tried to save themselves. Some of them didn't make it. Then what else?
Without the cross of Christ, there is no eternal life. And without our cross, which again is closely connected with the cross of Christ, there is no power of the cross to preserve our eternal life, the gift given to us by God through Christ. When the Lord observes our living the cross life, defending our gift of eternal life, the strength of his cross living in us gives us the strength to bear our cross. As we turn our backs on every temptation to sin, and as we flee from the very appearance of evil, we are the same as lifting up the cross of Christ and taking up our cross, just as Moses lifted up the rod of God so that Israel could continue winning the battle against the enemies of Israel. Every moment we continue taking up our cross to follow Christ, we remind Satan of Christ's victory over him on the cross at Calvary, where Jesus shed his precious blood so that our former sins could all be washed away and we might live the sinless, selfless cross life required to enter heaven. Our cross, the cross we must carry, is the cross which gives daily doses of poisonous treatments to our old sinful carnal self or soul life. Our cross must be applied to every attempt of Satan to tempt or deceive us back into the world of sin, where the old former worthless self-life waits. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world with all its wealth and lusts and lose his own soul? Mark chapter 8, verse 36. Self-denial is not something that can be finished. It is what we must experience daily to the end if we desire an eternity in heaven. The self-life must be overcome step by step. The more the Holy Spirit unites himself with our spirits, the more we will be united with Jesus and the selfless cross life of Jesus. How can believers deny the self if the self is unknown to them? They must first begin denying the things they recognize as worldly in themselves. The life of the cross will cut and penetrate our spirits ever more deeply each day. Through self-denial and bearing the cross daily, we can know more of God's will, and knowing more of ourselves will give the cross an increased power to poison and destroy more of our self-life each day, so that the life of Christ may attain more growth within us each day. God's word tells us that our own good deeds, which we have done, shall be as filthy rags at the judgment bar of God, if we expect them to merit our going to heaven. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6.
Right, the people that do their own good deeds, they're trying to substitute what they do for people. That is a good substitute for Christ, instead of having Christ live in you and work in you and through you. Your good deeds are like a old minstrel's cloth or a filthy rag, because that is not going to do you any good. Anytime you put your good deeds before Christ and his life and what he can do in you and through you, you are offending the Lord very much. And because he obviously is offending you, you don't want to have the Lord live in you, and you're not wanting to deny the things of this world. A lot of people think, because they lead maybe somebody across, good deeds are fine, but you cannot substitute them for the cross. We're born again at the cross, we die at the cross, we resurrect from the dead at the cross, everything happens at the cross. And we're able to mortify our flesh, the deeds of the flesh, and to be able to see realistically that the things of the world are of no value, and that the kingdom of heaven is the only important thing. The only important thing is to get into heaven. Don't stop running. Then what?
Nothing but what Christ has done and commands us to do after we have received the gift of eternal life can give us entry into heaven. So if it is your will to deny every instruction other than the instructions of Christ to enter heaven, which is a must, simply because there are no other means, and if it is your will to deny the world, Satan, and everything in the world, including yourself, so that you, the ones you love, and others may enter the kingdom of heaven, then begin your life of following Christ and the life of self-denial by saying this prayer.
Okay, the prayer goes, say it. You may be driving in an automobile someplace, or you can park the automobile. If you're a bus driver, and everybody on the bus has been listening to this broadcast, just pull them alongside the road with you and have every one of them say this prayer to God. Say it with all your heart and soul. Say to God now, My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that you, Father God, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit. Wash all my former filthy sins in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and say, Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Praise you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, you need to seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've written instructions on how you can accomplish that. As I said before, you're called now into the ministry, but you're not sent yet. You need to study to show yourself a workman approved by the Lord, and you need to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which will cause you to understand the word of the Lord much better, and you'll feel the Spirit of the Lord a lot stronger.
Sharon, tell everybody how to receive a copy of this program, number 77.
Go to alamoministries.com. Email us at taoffice@alamoministries.com, or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 2948, Hollywood, California, 800-273-9078 or call area code 661-252-5686. That's 661-252-5686.
Well, that concludes this piece of literature. Do I offend you, and are you ashamed of me? Tomorrow we'll be doing another one. So until then, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord.
We have a song here that I did with a lot of my friends. It's called Stand By Me.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship out on the sea, now who blessed wind and water, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I do the best I can, and my friends misunderstand, how who never lost a battle, stand by me. Thou who never lost a battle, stand by me.
Stand by me.
For generations, many have been blessed by the anointed messages of Pastor Tony Alamo. Help from Christ Ministries is always eager to hear from our viewers. Please contact us at 918-506-5550. That's 918-506-5550. Or help from Christ Ministries at gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.